All right. So we're getting ready to take off here. Put this down over here. And we're going. We got lots of stuff here. Should be okay. Okay, fine. All right. Well, let's see here. I'm just taking off, and I'm looking at the lawn that we charred. And we made good friends with our neighbor Gilbert, which is always good. Good guy. What's up with me? And I try to do things for him. He's going through some chemotherapy. That's rough. And this person's just coming right out onto the road. And that's the way it goes. That's okay. People are like that. If you expect people not to be paying attention, you're not surprised when they're not paying attention. I don't know how workable that really is, but it sure prevents problems. I know that means that other people don't spend a lot of time becoming responsible themselves, but I don't think it's my job to be other people's parents. I'm pretty sure it's not other people's jobs to be my parents. Oh, thank you. This guy decided to stop, although he had no intention of doing so. That's okay. And we're going to go on. Drive to Santa Rosa. I don't know if it'll have the cheaper gas, but we're going to find out. And so, yeah, we did a little bit of weed burning in the garden. We'll see how that ultimately manifests itself. We're going to try to keep things kind of killed down a little bit so that we can start planning the creeping time, crawling time, I think it's creeping time, the stuff that's ground cover, and we're going to do that because I just assume not have to mow the lawn anymore. Anyway, so we're experimenting with that. And what else am I up to? We're going to do some experimentation. I don't know exactly how I'm going to handle my jerry can shower. We'll see how I'm going to actually end up doing that. I might cut a little bit of my clear greenhouse cover, which I probably got too much of. I think I got 24 by 50, and I don't think I need anything like that. Anyway, that'll be good to kind of be a little bit of an insulator for my jerry can. So I might be able to get the temperature of the water relatively warm in there, and that would be really pleasant. I've got a shower. I found one of the showers. I can start exploring for other showers I might use instead. But I've got a shower at what's called IPOC, the big office building. That Sandia uses. It's got a shower in there, but it's cold. They don't have hot water in that room. So, we'll kind of figure things out a little. We might rig up something a little more exotic, especially when it gets colder, you know, in the fall, so that I can keep using my shower. Although when it's cold weather, I'm not sure I want to. Although it usually gets up in the 50s. Now I've got some other possibilities. The temple has a shower. And I might use that a bit. If I do much physical work around the crash site, I do that on a Monday evening, because my Tuesdays are chewed up with going to the temple, which is wonderful, and Wednesday to bed early, because I'm usually tired after the temple trip. And, of course, Thursday is chewed up going home. So we'll kind of see how all that goes. I've got 2 weeks until I get a paycheck, so I'm probably going to stop using my Capital One account until it actually gets some money in it. I'm still probably going to be pretty easy with it until I get a sense for how much the gas is costing. That's a tricky thing. I've got a 2-hour commute there and back. I usually fill up with gas every day. And it's been about, between $10 and $15 a day. So it doesn't end up being too awfully much. It's maybe, $70 a week? And so that'll mean about half of my money will go toward gas. Of course, that's not going back and forth. Now I'm going to have to stay cheap on food. That's just my... Alicia fills me up. You know, she gave me some potatoes to take, and I still got a lot of leftovers from the last time I shopped was the first week I started, so that was 2 weeks ago. And there's some stuff that I didn't want to eat, like, well, you know, I got SpaghettiOs, and that's kind of, I don't know. It's okay, I guess. Anyway, so yeah, I'm working on the new blister. It's gonna be the tall blister, and they're gonna start calling it the wart because it stands up a lot higher than a blister would. Anyway, so, see what else has been going on this week. I think we did a really good Princess and/or the Priest recording. About slavery, so you gotta go check that one out if you weren't looking for it. It'll be a couple of days. It'll be, oh, there's no time stamp on it. It's called Slavery, and over on archive.org. I hope archive.org survives. Getting some nasty legal challenges. And so there's some concern that it may very well be shut down. Of course, because of copyright concerns, a lot of stuff that should be up there ends up there. It doesn't really have to do with kind of the free storage service, you know, the terabytes and terabytes and terabytes that they keep up there. It's not really about that, but that really doesn't end up mattering in that, it doesn't have anything to do with that. I just use it as, frankly, free storage because they don't make a big hoo-ha about it. I store some of my better audio stuff up there. It's a whole lot better than trying to store it on my home device, which means if anything got any kind of interesting at all, it got any cachet, it would crash my home internet connection. So I put stuff up there that I don't think people will really ever read. Almost nobody reads my stuff, and I guess at one time that might have bothered me a lot. Um, it's up there to be perused by angels and stuff like that. It's not there to be publicly seen, particularly. I mean, I'm not hiding, but I'm not sitting there going, oh, look at my website, look at my website, advertise, advertise, advertise. I just didn't do that. So, anyway, traveling along, singing my song. Loves, which is where I go and brush my teeth, is sells I just happened to look and there's all kinds of bottles on the side of the road that look like they're filled with pee, and it's like, come on guys, be a little, don't be so gross, just toss out bottles of pee, drain out the pee into the earth, that's where it's supposed to go. You can find some place to throw the bottles later. And then they go, oh, you smell bad. And you go, well, dude, yeah, you've been peeing in it. You're just a little more responsible. I'm not asking for guys to be amazing. Just be decent. Anyway, oh, yeah, they have boiled eggs there. They're a dollar a piece, so it's a little pricey, but pretty inexpensive, not too bad. And I do that a couple of days while I'm out. Stick with the old reliables. Celery and carrots are kind of my staples. Although, hey, look, you know, I still got some more corn tortillas. I tend to go for the corn tortillas because they're cheaper and they last a lot longer than regular old white flour tortillas. And I don't think anybody goes through the effort really of screwing around much with corn flour. It's just not that processed of a thing. So, I might be wrong. It might be a little straightforward. On these trips, I tend to get gas in Fort Sumner, Santa Rosa. Prices are off lower. Don't know why exactly. gas again at the 7-Eleven in Mountain Air. I signed up for a D-Pay gas discount. Years ago, and I still use it, you know. Yeah, I often get gas a lot cheaper than anybody else does. I went to the youth Sunday school class today. And the subject of faith came up. My Easter story, about us, our power line getting hit by lightning and getting fried. How I got some inspiration during the Easter service. Go ahead and contact the power company about it. And how it all got handled in good order. That I had grown accustomed to this somewhat small inspiration coming and acting on it, and good things coming of it. Boom! I don't know how that impressed the youth any. You know, they're all very accustomed to, you know, oh yeah, I have faith in Jesus Christ, and it's like, you know, and they go, what does that look like? Oh, well, I don't know, you know, I read my scriptures, and I do this, and I do that, and I go, yeah, oh, well, that's good, but... inspiration. At least for me, has always been a wonderful part of just being taken care of. And that constant reinforcement that the Lord is really there, and the Lord looks after us and takes care of us. It's a tricky thing to, you know, people get hung up on several things. Either I'm inconsequential to the Lord, so I don't get inspiration from Him. Of course, they're always looking for something huge and amazing. Well, as you keep looking for huge and amazing things, those happen occasionally. But, I've had some really bigger, much bigger spiritual experiences. And yeah, so. I mean, it took me years, decades, really. How much the Lord will watch over you if you let Him. It's really very amazing. So anyway, I don't know how to put it into words, but I'm going, no, you guys really aren't getting this. The Lord can be an incredibly active participant in your life. And that kind of churns up that never-ending activity of humbling yourself and continually repenting constantly bettering ourselves in his way, as we obey the commandments, as we become better people, we're blessed more for it. That's where those blessings come. And that, you know, and I've written about it a few times as I've come across different scripture passages about it. We are prospered. Good things happen to us. I don't know if people at my school or over at Mesaland would be too upset to know that I'm doing fine. In fact, I'm not going to be surprised if I end up making well, now I know I make comparable money to what I would have been making at Mesaland since everybody was getting big pay cuts. And I might be getting a little bit better of a job over in Sandia. The point to where it's like, well, guys, you know, I know it's a little bit disconcerting, but I'm actually making more money than I did at Mesaland. So instead of, you know, being properly, I guess, punished for my misdeeds or whatever, for things I shouldn't have done, I might end up being in really quite good shape. So, you know, it's like, well, you know, you say, guy, is this, can this guy lose? And you go, you know, it really doesn't have a ton to do with me as much as it does in receiving the prosperity that the Lord has promised us when we try to do what he asks us to do. And I'm not even saying I do a very good job of it. And it's not some weird thing that comes from quoting Bible scripture particularly, you know, which is what most people do, you know. Well, tell me what faith is, and they can quote it out of, you know, they can say, well, it says that it's a belief in something you can't see. And you go, yeah, I guess so. You know, on one level it is. But what it really is acting on impressions that you get from the Lord. That's faith. Now we talked about, you know, crossing the Red Sea. And them saying, wow, what an incredible act of faith. And you go, well, you know, it was a buildup from that. That Moses had tons of experiences, and the children of Israel had tons of experiences, seeing the Lord do things in their favor. And this was just taking it to yet another next step, another level maybe. And so, I'm not a scriptorian. I was saying, oh, I don't remember why. Is that how the story reads in the scriptures? Great. You know? Because I didn't have it. And they went, oh, you know, he doesn't know the scriptures very well. And you go, well, bring the scriptures a lot. It's not about memorizing the stories or becoming a theologian. about saying the Lord blessed them this way. If I'm righteous, the Lord will bless me that way. Sometimes in incredible ways. Sometimes in ways that seem of biblical proportions. Most of the time, though, it's day-to-day blessings. I'm grateful every day. There's probably some angel there that is assigned to steer my car for me. When I'm thinking all these big, highfalutin, silly thoughts, not silly, but big, you know, big picture stuff, and somebody's got to keep their eye on the road because I'm not doing a very good job. I'm blessed, and it's like, you know, I don't think it has so much to do with, oh boy, Deborah was just so right, boom. You go, no. I think it has more to do with becoming spiritually sensitive. And I think sometimes it's just like this muscle that you exercise a lot. So reading your scriptures, saying your prayers, all that stuff that constitutes what they used to call the answer X. Great Seminary Answer X. And it's not that that isn't correct, but you can really too easily get into it that it is. You know, if I want to have big spiritual experiences, you know, I need to read more scriptures every day, you know, instead of doing one chapter a night, I'm going to do three. And I can expect a tripling of my blessings. You know, and I know people say, well, that doesn't work that way. Well, yeah, it doesn't. But it makes it so that you can have, hopefully it puts you in the right spiritual frame. Now, this alone won't do it. Like I said, scripture reading and saying your prayers on a regular schedule, and stuff like that, saying prayers, you know, you can say, well, they're not very specific prayers, you know, well, then you probably won't get very specific answers very often. You have to talk to Heavenly Father about the troubles that you're having or the things that you need. You know, I always talk about getting Sandy and what a blessing Sandy has been to me. From an economic standpoint, I don't know if I've gotten my return on investment yet, but I think I might have. Anyway, certainly got better gas mileage than the wonderful Ford Explorer that basically got given to me by my daughter, Brennan. Wow, that was a great blessing. Anyway, but if I hadn't have been pondering, thinking about that, I actually talked to Heavenly Father and said, Heavenly Father, I'm going to try to get a smaller car, you know, I can, you know, help me please. And all of a sudden, these amazing things started happening, started falling into place. And my sailboat, which is absolutely, you know, people go, what do you have a sailboat for? And you go, oh, there's reasons. And it came to mind, you know, you could live in a sailboat. I was like, yeah, I could. And it wasn't a big one, but to be honest, when I have big things. I don't tend to use them particularly. When it gets down to it, I'm kind of a, you know, I really am kind of, I don't know if it's minimalist. I think I'm very ascetic on some level. It keeps my living really cheap, and but it's just kind of the way I am. Even when I've got lots of money, I tend to be really cheap, and that just makes it so you end up having even more money, because you know if you're not spending it, it's building up. Anyway, so well, regardless, blessings that you can have. God is far more practical than I think most people make it out to be. And he's much more straightforward. I think people are almost think that God is mystical because they can't see the kind of cause and effect relationship that God would love to have with us. Not shy about saying how it works. And as I hear people talk about what's a good way to say it? Oh, we got lost. About the signs of the times. I think the vast majority of them are really quite small. That, and I think many of the signs of the times will never make it to international news. So you're not going to know a lot of them happening. Some of them are going to be very obvious. When the second coming happens, I think that's where that one's going to be obvious. And when it says in Scripture that it will come like a thief in the night, I think that'll be the way it seems. People will go, what? I wasn't prepared at all. There were so many things that I thought hadn't happened yet. You know, the asteroid, the big asteroids that hadn't come and hit the Earth and killed off a third of the fish. And you go, well, have you been listening to the people who say that a whole lot of our fish stocks are down? Oh, I didn't hear about the big asteroid. You know, didn't say it was going to be a big one. Everybody can do just as much damage. And it could have been metaphorical. I don't know. But Christ may come any time now. Everybody says, oh no, it's got to be this, it's got to be that, it's got to be really obvious, it's got to be really huge. Everybody's got to know it. You're going, oh, I'll cry until he actually shows up. And everybody will know about it. So, I think people are really bad about discounting small things. They're probably the vast majority of the size of the times will be somewhat small. The vast majority of people will take no notice of it. So yeah, it could go from anywhere from being tonight, next few minutes, to, you know, 100 years from now. Be ready, be watching. The biggest thing is, don't give up hope. Endure. Don't stop waiting. Don't stop hoping. Don't say, well, I guess I can't believe in Christ anymore because Christ surely would have come by now. You go, don't do that. I don't know if I'd mentioned it already, but I'm going to go ahead and let my beard grow. I've been noticing that I'm really having some shaving issues. And I did a little research this morning on the fact that one should not one shouldn't be using razors. That's kind of a an old covenant thing, especially for priests. So, I don't think I'm going to do the whole ringlets thing. Lisa doesn't want to have to see that kind of stuff. I don't blame her. But yeah, I'm going to grow out my beard. My dad has already warned me that I'll probably have a whole lot more gray hairs in my beard than I do on my head. It's like, I'm kind of anticipating this. I brought up to Caleb, he's started growing a beard. His is a little wispy. So I don't know what mine's going to be like. Matt can grow a pretty good beard. He's had a pretty good beard over time, and then he shaved it off, I think. Somebody said something to him. And, of course, when you say something to Matt, it gets stuck in his head. And so if you put it into his head that he should shave off, he should shave all the time, he'll do it. I think he's also getting to the point where he's getting it, starting to have a lot of problems. Anyway, so. I had a friend at Eastern I worked with, Jeremy Baldridge. When I first met him, he didn't have a beard. He was a clean-shaven guy. And then I came back, and he had this beard, man. And, I mean, he had a beard that was probably about a foot long. And it got even longer. And I don't know what Lisa will think about that. Lisa doesn't think anything of it. She goes, oh, no. She goes, no, I've seen those Duck Dynasty guys. I do not want you getting a beard like that. And that was exactly what I had in mind. So, we'll see what happens. I don't plan on doing anything about it. They probably, at some point, Lisa may knock me in the head, get some scissors, and chop off most of my beard just because she doesn't want it anymore. But I'm taking kind of a Jewish look on it, so we'll kind of see how that goes. And see what people think. I'm gonna have to get some gas here. I think I've tested this out before, and when I turn off the microphone, it pauses the recording. And then when I turn the microphone back on, all of a sudden it starts working again. So I may give that a shot again, Old Testament. We'll see. It's not good to have really long audio things. It's going to chop it up, I guess, into pieces. Although it seems the Sunday trip out to the crash site is usually the only day that I do... You know, I do stuff. Anyway. I don't know, gas prices are looking a little high here. Maybe not. It may even be 59. I don't know. Anyway. Okay. Well, the gas price is pretty high. But I got 10 cents off. That's not too bad. $3.59. I don't think that's a very good price. Made obvious by the fact that there's almost nobody at the pumps here. But I'm lazy. I'm not going to go and try to find something else. I'm just going to fill up the gap. So, there's this. And let's see, I'm going to do this. Turn on the thing and it just starts going again. All right. Got my gas. Getting ready to get off. Go off-roading. Well, it's not real. I'm gonna go get on Highway 54, going down to Vaughan, and then go Highway 60 from there. Across the crash site. It's gonna be a wonderful thing. And I don't know what to expect out of this. You know, I pray to Heavenly Father all the time, especially when I'm, well, not especially, when I'm job hunting, and I'm not job hunting anymore, but I'm still, I guess I call it clearing out the baffles for just there is another place that just called me kind of out of the blue. I hadn't yet turned off all of the recruiters. And there was a recruiter from Sandia that said, "Hey, I've got this job. Would you like to take a look at it?" It's like, oh, you know. I told her, I said, I just barely took a job with the Sandia contractor. And she said, "Oh, that's okay." And so, yeah. Well, I talked to him last week, Tuesday or so. And we'll see, you know. For all I know, he's like, "Eh." After I talked to him, he was okay. But I think I can find somebody better. And that's fine. And it sounds like it's going to pay a little bit more than what I'm making now. I don't know what a little bit more is. For all I know, they'll offer me $125 or $123. And it's like, oh my gosh, that's the most money I've ever made in my life. And, you know, it's like, what do you do with the prosperity that you get? Well, certainly pay your tithing. Certainly, give generously to fast offerings. Give generously to humanitarian aid, stuff like that. Be generous with the money you have, and it gives the Lord a reason, a good reason, to enrich you even more, to put things into place. So, yeah, you know, I don't know, when I was younger, if I was actually stopping myself from doing well financially, I probably was. And hopefully I'm getting better at doing that less than I used to. Are these things are outside the gate? Are those places for people to live, that work at the Santa Rosa? Santa Rosa's got a housing problem. And it's always been tricky having a prison there because you really couldn't recruit a lot of people to work for the prisons because there just wasn't a big pool to begin with. I heard that they had a van, or that was back when it was Wack and Hut and Geo, that they had a van that would go back and forth between Tucumcari and Santa Rosa. For people who lived in Tucumcari, but yet, you know, worked at Wack and Hut here. Anyway, so, but now I hear that the state has taken over Guadalupe County Correctional Facility. It's now state-run. And they've got all these, at first glance, they look like conjugal places to me. But it's like, no, you know, the conjugal huts have to be inside the fence. Or at least the ones that they had were. And it's like, maybe this is housing that they offer to corrections officers to come and work for them. It's part of the compensation package. Wow. Anyway, so, I don't know what's going to come of any of these things. I don't know what blessings Heavenly Father has in store for me. I don't know if there's bigger things or if he's just saying, hey, this is just prosperity. You know, don't get prideful. And you go, well, okay. I'm trying not to get prideful. And, sauerkraut like it. I thought I gave these all my sauerkraut cans. Apparently I didn't. It's just they stuff so much in them. They're just, I mean, you can't eat it in one sitting. And it starts getting weirder and weirder once you open it up. And it smells really weird. And that's problematic. Of course, it's tricky because I also got salmon in pouches, and so it's like, well, what's that weird smell? And you go, it's probably, it's one or the other. It's the sauerkraut or it's the salmon. I try not to do both at the same time. Anyway, so, I never really experimented to see if I just ate sauerkraut, if that would handle my gut biome. You know, it's fermented to a degree. Of course, you know, the canned American stuff isn't as good. You know, the fermentation process doesn't take the meat canned very readily. But anyway, I'm so getting off. You think I had a topic, but I don't. I just see stuff and then I start commenting about it. But like I said, I don't think, you know, it's the whole concept of prosperity. It's just about good things happening and trying to leave yourself open to those good things happening. And, both of my parents were planners. I think my mom was more than my dad. But of course, you know, I got on the phone today with Dad, and he was all about, you don't need to be thinking about retiring at 60. That's just crazy. You can't do that. And it's like, well, Dad, I've got a nice little nest egg, and I've got a pension in. That can start on my 58th birthday. And I don't know if that's good or bad. You know, Lisa was okay with it at first, and then she came back and said, well, maybe you should work a little bit longer. It's like, wait a minute, Lisa, wait a minute. I freed you from the hat. No, I didn't free her, but, you know, I wasn't the one saying, oh, Lisa, but it's so much fun to have the extra money for you working at the schools and, you know, bringing in some more money. Why don't you keep doing that? And it's like, but Lisa, I didn't tell you you had to. But yeah, she's coming back and telling me that. You go, yes, I know it's my responsibility. I know that. But couldn't I do something else instead? You know, does it have to be a 40-hour-a-week full-time job with all the bennies? Does it have to be that? We've already worked, and so our health insurance, our health care, our health share has nothing to do with other things. Vitamin C. Anyway, we're else we got going? There's not much else going on. I think this week is really going to be the first time that I'm really going to have the opportunity to start setting up like a server to play with. Just on Thursday before, I was only at work for a few hours on Thursday. And So I'm going to start building up a server just so I can get kind of accustomed to the environment, doing what I need to do to, it's called Sticks, and it mostly has to do with doing security hardening. And, what else? And then we'll see. You know, I might get that answer back from that fellow saying, "Hey, I need you to put in your application for this other job in Sandia." And that's really a big thing. There's a lot of people who say, "Man, I spent 15 years as a contractor, but then, you know, I got converted, and it's called being a Sandian." And that's where you work actually for Sandia Labs as opposed to for one of its subcontractors. And it's kind of a status cachet thing. And I don't think it hurts to have that kind of a... of a thing. Now, you know, the whole thing is, well, wait a minute, you know, it took me decades to get there. And you started here, and 4 or 5 weeks later, you were all of a sudden a Sandian. And you're going, well, yeah, I'm sorry. I can't do much about that. You know, well, no, it's just, you know, I'm not gonna stop it from happening when the opportunity arises. The transition to do it. You know, even though they said, oh, you know, it's kind of TA, it's for, I forget what the term he used, but it doesn't mean it is an FTE. It really hasn't been, it hasn't been established that it's going to be a long-term position, which is a little different because usually that's exactly why they have contractors. Is that almost everybody, if they work directly for Sandia, it's like, well, you've got a job for life, almost. You know, for all practical purposes, you know. The Sandia people may very well move you to another group for one reason or another, you know, but they aren't going to be getting rid of you. And this is an interesting situation where it's like, well, it's a Sandia job, but it isn't necessarily forever. And you're going, well, you know, that's okay for me. It doesn't bother me much. My expectation is not to you know, spend a long time working here. I'm already, you know, I'm turning 56 here in a couple of weeks. And I'm only two years away from a pension. I'm not a goofy guy about, you know, I don't get weird about money and saying, boy, but yeah, if I stay in for 5 more years, I can get this much more money every month. And you go, not really. Get some, but not much. Now, regardless, you know, I try not to talk around those things because that makes people act weird. If they know you're kind of a short timer. On some level, you know, people start acting funny. And you go, well, you don't want to do that. That's okay. I just tell them, hey, I was looking for a job when I found this one. You know, and if you don't like me, the great part is that I'll probably leave pretty quickly. If you do like me and you want to keep me around, you know, that's great too. It says, but yeah, I don't end up being one of those guys that basically, you know, burrows in like a tick. That's probably one of the problems they have in Sandia, is that they say, yeah, people work hard for the first year or two, and then they get themselves kind of entrenched. And then they start kind of flaking around because it's like, oh, I got a job for life. And you go, oh, I never behave like that, you know. If I start flaking around, my tendency is to jump to someplace else. And I'm not saying it's because I'm a wonderful person and that, you know, oh, I'm searching for more adventures. You know, since I'm kind of a project-based guy and I get a good sense for when it's time to move on. Anyway, so I've got 18 years of credits to the Educational Retirement Board of New Mexico, and, you know, if you have 25 years, you can just retire, period. And I don't know. That also means at the age of 58, just two more years and a couple of weeks, I could start drawing that pension. Of course, you know, the whole thing is, well, you know, if you wait 2 years later until you're 60, you can get a little bit more. And I did all the calculations, and it's $100 more a month of, what, $2,300? I would go from $2,300 a month up to $2,400. And you're going, you know, that's not bad. That adds up. That's another $1,200 a year. And you go, but is it worth putting in 2 more years just to get that? And you go, no. And you go, there it is. So, yeah, when people say, well, aren't you trying to get a job back working for a school system? And you go, no, because I probably won't ever make that much money at a school system ever again. You know, why? I tell you. And plus, I'm not very inclined these days to deal with schools. Schools are very woke. right now, and it's like, I really don't want to get mixed up with that. You know, I don't like that, so it's fine. You guys go on with your happy lives. It has nothing to do with me. You know, I got 18 years before it got weird, and that's okay. You know, I'm happy. I'll go ahead and wait until I'm just old enough to start taking it. Am I going to get any more? No. Because there's no practical reason why I should wait on taking out my money, except maybe there might be a little bit to waiting until I'm 60. But that's only if I really, you know, if I'm really loving the job I've got or something like that. And I'd rather just, I'd rather just keep working, but I can't, you know, I can't foresee that particularly. It doesn't matter. Like I said, I've got this money locked in. When I turn 58 and I can get it, I'll get $28,000 a year. And the only reason to wait on taking it, there is no reason to wait on taking it. There really isn't. You know, you can say, well, wait until you're 60, and you go, Yeah, like I said, that one might be the only thing is to say, well, I could get another $100 a month if I waited another 2 years until I was 60 years old, and they wouldn't actually take any penalty. They call it a penalty. It's just, you know, taking it a little earlier. Now, after 60, I get nothing more. There's just nothing more to be had. Well, see, I don't know if that's necessarily true. I'm not sure. No, I don't think there is. I think it's based on your service credit and your best 20 quarters. You know, your best five years is how much your thing is based on. So mine's based on the fact that for 6 months I made 110 for 18 months, I made 85-ish, maybe a little bit more, maybe it went up to 87, I forget, for a little bit of that, not very much of it. And for quite a while, I made 65. Anyway, so everything from Eastern, on, pretty much reflects how much money I'm going to be making the second time around at Eastern. Maybe a little bit for the first time. That was like 44. Yikes! Anyway. Alright, it's just, like I said, it doesn't bother me. And like I said, you know, start grabbing the money as soon as you can, because you don't know how long you're going to be able to have it, to grab it, to have it. You've thrown so much money at the system, it's like, as soon as you can start taking it. People go, well, you'd make more money if you waited longer. And you go, that's life insurance talking. They're going to save money by talking you into waiting until you're 70, because chances are, you know, there's a good percentage chance that you'll never make it to 70 and that you'll die. And that it's like, well, you don't get anything. You know, have a nice day. We don't have to pay for dead people. And that's kind of what they count on. The whole point of them raising the retirement age is so that more people will die before they can collect. That's how it works. So the whole point is, as soon as they're willing to give you some money, and you go, well, it's not very much, and you go, take it. And you go, but wait, I'm not going to get much money. And you go, take it. And you go, well, I get in trouble if I'm making too much money. And you go, get into trouble by making too much money or something. Don't let that stop you, but don't let it stop you from taking the money. Everybody who makes that weird count, you know, oh, you need to sit down, you really need to think about it. And there are reasons why you might want to take it at 62, but here's some of the things you need to consider about this. There's this thing and this thing and this waiver and that thing. And you're going, dude, no. The government's been taking your money for your whole life. I said, you better start getting it back. As soon as you qualify for some money, grab it. You go, well, no, I'm a better person than that. And you go, oh, what kind of virtue signaling crap is that? Take the money. Well, then you can't work as much. And you go, what's your problem? You know, if you make too much money to qualify for it, or if you sign up for it, they say, well, we're not going to give you but maybe a couple of dollars, you go, fine. Just take a couple of dollars. It's something. Because at any given moment, something can happen. And isn't it nice to already have that in place? And when they go, hey, you're not making any money anymore. And you go, yeah, I got hurt or I got tired or I decided I didn't want to screw with it anymore. And you go, yeah. And you go, okay, well then, as soon as you report your change in salary, we're gonna bump your Social Security back up. And you go, hey, that's good. Instead of waiting for some arbitrary moment saying, oh, I hate my job now at 63, but I've got to work until later because I'm going for this, you know, for this money level. And you're going, don't play like that. Don't do it. Now, granted, I do not know how it works exactly. I know people would be out there screaming, saying, this is stupid, you don't understand how it works. And they're going, yeah, you're right. Anyway, get the money. Start taking the money. If you don't need it, but you can still take it, sock it away. Don't put it into some stupid 401k program. What good is that when you're at this point, at least in my life? What good is it to stick it in a 401k particularly? About zero. You know, except that it's got kind of a nice mechanism. It'll start making money. And that's good, I guess. Happy to be alive. got $5,000 socked away in a Series 1 bond. Of course, I did that because I said, boy, you're going to be getting 9% interest starting such and such a date. So I took the 9%, I took that. And, am I going to keep it in there? And you go, yeah, let me tell you, there's nothing like having money you forgot you had. Especially if it's earning interest. And you go, just put it in there and forget that you have it. And then one day when you go, well, shoot, I need this or I need that. Well, it'd be nice to have 10 grand or 15 grand. And you go, wait a minute. Dang it, I've got some money socked away somewhere. It's been earning interest all this time. I don't even know how much I've got, but it's got to be something. And you go, hey, man, let's sit there for 30 years. And in 30 years, they will force you to take it out. It'll be paid to you. And all of a sudden, 30 years, you go, wait, man, I put that in when I was 55. I'll get it when I'm 85. And they're going, if I'm still here. It says, but it's money, It'll go to my descendants. Somebody will get that money. And they can, it's the whole thing about unclaimed money. All of a sudden, they'll call somebody and they'll say, hey, man, you got $20,000 sitting here. You really want to get rid of it because we're tired of paying interest on it. Anyway, so. All right, we are Tavon. My thing says I'm getting 35 miles to the gallon. Most of what I'm doing now is uphill, all the way from Tucumcari all the way to Mountaineer. After I get to Mountaineer, we go through a pass, and then it's downhill from there. And I get pretty good gas mileage there. Most of it's uphill until that time. But that also means that when I go from Albuquerque to Tucumcari, I easily get in the 40s for gas mileage. And I pretty much get that across the board. And it goes pretty good. Anyway, okay. Hey, coal trucks. Bunch of coal cars. Well, the gas price is $3.69 here. That's pretty high. So I rarely get gas here in Vaughan because the gas prices are a lot higher. Usually when I get the Mountaineer, even though the gas price may look high there, it's not as high as it is here. And I usually get a bit of a discount, even if it's only 5 cents off. That makes a difference. And sometimes as much as 30 cents off of what the pump price says. And I'm always impressed and go, wow, this is now the cheapest price there can be. Anyway, so. And that was Vaughan. So, I'm not saying that I'm the cagiest financial planner. I'm not saying I would take advantage of every single thing that's available to me. I tend not to. I think it's advantageous to be a little cagey and to not take advantage of too many offers. A lot of people get audited based on creative accounting, and I've never been the type. I figure I'm much more interested in getting to heaven than in maximizing my money here on earth. And I'm not saying that that's not a perfectly good thing to do. I just don't want to spend a lot of my time thinking about it. So I don't. And the last 2 weeks have been crazy enough for me. I really haven't done a lot of writing. I try to do writing away from Lisa because Lisa and I want to spend our time together as much as we can. And that doesn't do well for writing. Although, I get up really early in the morning, 3:30, 4 in the morning. And I start writing as opposed to like reading the news and stuff like that. There's nothing in the news that's anything worth thinking about. Much more interesting to write down. I usually use Blogger because it's tied to my phone, and my phone's really handy typically. So I'll sit there and I'll compose stuff, save it up to Blogger, and then it'll be there the next time I do stuff. And things slowly get written. Look at it on the big screen on the weekends. Have a little bit of time just to kind of do touch-up, but do most of the actual composition when I'm sitting out on the boat. Of course, pretty soon I'll have a much better setup. I'm doing a much better job of setting up a more livable circumstance at the crash site. Although it's tempting to make my stuff work here in the car, I probably need to rig some sort of a desk kind of thing. So I can compose the car. The nice part about the car is I've got everything. I've got electricity to plug into. I've got I've got heat when it's cold. I tend to just open up the windows at night because I have to come home. Come home when it's cooler. I can start parking the car someplace where it's in the shade, which makes a big difference. Anyway, so that'll all work really good, I think. Well, regardless, golly, man, it's 8 o'clock. I think I've been doing this for almost 2 hours. I should probably give this recording a rest and just kind of think about other things. Maybe listen a little bit to General Conference. It's always good. I paid really close attention to the first session, so I really got a ton out of it. To be honest, the subsequent sessions, I was a little more distracted, and so not so good. And so it'll be good now after the fact, as I'm listening to my podcast recordings of it, that I can make everything work okay. Anyway, so ouch. We'll see how much of a beard I end up having when I go to, I don't know. You know, they may come back and say, you know what, I think we need to get another picture of you because now you got a beard. You didn't have a beard when you started. It's like, yeah, I guess that's true. We'll see what they want to do. I don't, you know, it's like, well, whatever. It doesn't bother me. Are you going to grow it out more? And they go, yeah. Do you know how long it's going to get? I said, no. Not really. Haven't given it much thought. All I know, I might have a real, not much of a beard at all. You know. I wouldn't bother my wife particularly if I really kind of had kind of a wispy little beard. I was looking at Caleb's. Caleb's pretty good with his beard. And I don't think there's much to it. He doesn't have much in it. We'll see how it goes. My dad usually has a pretty good beard. And he can grow a pretty long one if it's Matt's got a pretty good beard, but, you know, we'll see. I have no idea. Anyway, okay, I think I'm going to go ahead and let this thing go, and we're going to see how it sounds. So talk to you later. Bye.